Have you ever had a really bad headache? I mean a really bad one, the kind that doesn't respond to standard treatments like aspirin or ibuprofen. For people who suffer from what are called cluster headaches, the pain can be excruciating and unrelenting. In fact, with no cure on offer, a number of sufferers have turned to alternative treatments, including unregulated ones like psilocybin mushrooms. The surprising tale of how unlikely drugs are being used to treat a variety of ailments is told in the new book, Psychedelic Outlaws, The Movement Revolutionizing Modern Medicine, by Joanna Kempner. Joanna is an associate professor of sociology at Rutgers, and she joins us now to share five of her key insights.
Hi there, I'm Joanna Kempner, author of Psychedelic Outlaws, The Movement Revolutionizing Modern Medicine. Psychedelic Outlaws tells the story of the courage, ingenuity, and tenacity of a group of ordinary people who went to extraordinary lengths to find a way to treat their excruciating pain. I found this story fascinating for many reasons, but I got sucked in because I related to their struggle. Getting doctors to recognize, respect, diagnose, and treat my own pain has been a real challenge. Their epic journey has given me an inside look at the backroom politics fueling psychedelic medicine. So I thought I'd share five insights that I learned along the way. The first thing I wanted to share with you is that psychedelics are back in a really big way. And I'm not just talking about the latest Dead & Company tour. The buzz is real. Every day, new studies highlight the therapeutic potential of psychedelics for conditions ranging from depression and addiction to severe pain. Early on, private donors funded most of this research, but it's now grown into a billion-dollar industry. You can even buy stock in dozens of psychedelic companies. It took a while, but even the U.S. federal government is turning on to the idea. As of now, the FDA is reviewing a submission for MDMA-assisted therapy to treat PTSD. If approved, doctors could soon prescribe the drug that you might remember as ecstasy. So the second point is that outlaws are changing medicine. To understand how we got here, it helps to know that drug prohibition created a thriving underground where people continued to experiment with LSD, MDMA, and magic mushrooms. The other thing to know is that psychedelic medicine wasn't able to follow the typical drug development process because of these legal and ideological barriers. I only learned about the psychedelic underground in 2012 when I met Bob Wold. Bob told me that he used magic mushrooms to treat his cluster headaches, the most excruciating disease in the world. Clusterbusters, the patient support organization he founded, did something incredible. They began experimenting on themselves to develop a psychedelic protocol that anybody in the world could use if they were in the same kind of pain. And then once they had collected enough data and they secured enough funding, they persuaded Harvard researchers to publish their work. Their story gets pretty wild, but it turns out that partnerships like the relationship Clusterbusters forged with Harvard offer a reasonable model of how scientists work with outlaws like Bob to get psychedelic research done. So while scientists might get the credit, much of their research depends on innovation that happens out of sight. Here's my third takeaway. Outlaws use psychedelics to survive medicine's failures. People break the law to find relief because they're desperate for care. Amid soaring rates of chronic pain and mental illness, many individuals face misdiagnoses, gaslighting, and ineffective treatments. It's not surprising, then, that surveys reveal the primary motivation for experimenting with psychedelics is health-related. Almost everyone I met said that they'd much prefer to be a patient than an outlaw, but they were also willing to do whatever it took to survive. Andrew Clemenshaw's story is a stark example of the desperation that drives people to outlaw medicine. Andrew began experiencing cluster headaches in middle school, but when his mom took him to the doctor, they dismissed his pain as stress-related. Maybe he was just being bullied. Whatever. Cluster headaches are no joke. The attacks feel like a searing hot iron is being jammed into your eye. The intensity is worse than a gunshot wound or unmedicated labor, according to people who've experienced both. It's so bad that nearly 70% of sufferers experience suicidal thoughts during attack cycles. That it takes an average of 5 years to get a diagnosis is a travesty. Andrew had no reference point for his pain, so he just sat in his 8th grade class and he tried to stay calm while experiencing the kind of agony that makes most adults scream for mercy. When Andrew was 17, his mom discovered cluster busters and learned about psychedelic medicine. Andrew credits it with saving his life. He's not exaggerating. As he likes to say, it was psychedelics or suicide. Here's my 4th takeaway. Psychedelics revolutionized headache medicine. This isn't Western medicine's first ride on the psychedelic merry-go-round. Back in 1998, when the internet was still a wild frontier, a guy named Flash posted on an online forum for people with cluster headache. His claim? A low dose of magic mushrooms taken twice a year had completely stopped his pain. Initially, everyone ignored him. The internet is filled with strange ideas. But then historical information surfaced that suggested Flash might be onto something. By now, many people know that in the mid-20th century, psychiatrists have been studying LSD for mental and behavioral disorders, and that many of these doctors thought that these substances had real promise. What's less known is that psychedelics had already revolutionized headache medicine. The pharmaceutical industry's interest in using psychedelics for head pain dates to at least the late 19th century. That's when drug developers learned that indigenous people were using peyote to treat headaches. Of course, indigenous knowledge of plant medicine goes back much, much further. In the mid-20th century, Albert Hofmann, a Swiss biochemist at Sandoz Pharmaceuticals, accidentally discovered LSD while researching ergot, a toxic and hallucinogenic fungus with medicinal properties, one of which was the treatment of migraine. Few people realize that the same year he went on that famous bicycle ride, he also discovered another ergot derivative, DHE, which is still an important headache medicine. By 1959, Sandoz had learned that LSD could potentially treat migraines. But the neurologist doing this research thought that the psychedelic effects of LSD were a bit much for his patients and that they might not be necessary. So Sandoz sent him some of the non-hallucinogenic versions of LSD that Albert Hofmann had synthesized in his laboratory. That's how we ended up with Sansert, a medicine used for decades to prevent both migraine and cluster headache. Unfortunately, Sansert had a rare but serious side effect that limited its use. This forgotten history underscores the urgent need to revisit the medical use of psychedelic substances, not as a last resort, but as a legitimate research-backed option for difficult-to-treat health problems. Here's my last point, number 5. Psychedelics won't change the world because they can't. That's up to us. Bob Wold, the founder of Cluster Busters, said it best. You can't introduce transformative medicine into a broken healthcare system. Cluster headache might be rare, but people's struggle to get decent care is all too relatable. What good is an effective treatment if a doctor doesn't believe you're in pain? And how helpful is a miracle cure if insurance companies won't cover its cost? I studied Cluster Busters because their psychedelic innovation amazed me. But at the end of the day, their goal isn't to legitimate psychedelics. It's about getting basic healthcare to people in agonizing pain. Changing the world or revolutionizing the medical system can seem to be an insurmountable task. So I'll leave you with some of Bob's hard-won wisdom. Start small, listen, create an environment where it's okay for someone to share their vulnerabilities. Pain isolates, but knowing you're not alone can make all the difference. Hope goes a long way. And while we work for a more just future, know that saving lives means we need to bring some care into this world. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the book.
Thank you, Joanna. That was Joanna Kempner with five big ideas from Psychedelic Outlaws, the movement revolutionizing modern medicine. You might also like our book bite for Trippy, The Peril and Promise of Medicinal Psychedelics by Ernesto Londoño. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.